looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. From different races, you get money, they started hating.
Good for you.
Okay, here we are, downtown Fort Lauderdale with the Tony Sands Radio Show, back in the house for another great week of sports talk radio. I'm your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, and we are here with Mr. Tony Sands, ready to get it in with a very hot week of topics in sports. It is crazy out there, Tony.
When I say crazy, mad crazy. Listen, let's start off Ohio State. But first of all, when we start off, I got to do something. Last week, I made a bet.
Uh-huh.
But it was some of the things I added into the bet that got me in trouble. Not that I didn't win the bet. Not that I wasn't confident enough.
Right.
That the bet would stand. It was just some of the things I added into the bet.
Maybe too many things sometimes were thrown the out there on the table.
Sometimes the couch, yeah.
Ooh.
Sometimes the couch make you rethink some things. So I got to rethink some things. There's some things that I got to rethink in the bet when it comes to all this. What I mean by that is that, you know, I got to apologize to the wife because I added the wife in the bet.
Oh, man.
So I'm apologizing openly on air. Listen, young fellas, that's why I'm telling you, you got to always be willing to apologize.
There's happy wife, happy life, right?
Oh, man. When I say, of course, that's why I am apologizing. right now. But let's get into it. My wife, I'm apologizing for me adding you in the bet. Maybe you mean more to me than that. But let's get into the show. Ohio State. And when we say apologizing and pulling things back, Ohio State pulls the summer aid. What is that telling a guy?
Pulls the summer aid for Barrett. For the quarterback, the new starter that they were getting ready, and I was saying myself that they're shifting gears now to go into playoff mode with JT Barrett at quarterback.
Correct.
And now they're pulling his aid.
Summer aid. That you are pulling the summer aid, you are revoking is the word that they use, the summer aid for 2016. When I hear that after you have just been involved in a situation, folks, he was involved in he was stopped on campus by, I guess, a campus police routine stop. That what happened where they were pulling people.
A little bit of alcohol involved.
And there was some alcohol involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you said, AD come out and said, okay, their guidelines doesn't want, you know, what the public was calling for. So they only suspended him for one game. But then you go ahead and now all of a sudden, and like you started revoking his summer aid.
That's a big move.
It ain't a big move. It's an ending. That's an ending. You're telling this young man, because people, we got to understand, when we say summer aid, coaches grant summer aid. It's not something that the kids get. It's something that they do to bring kids on the campus. That way the kids, they can, you know, they can train in.
They can be close to the program, close to the coaches.
You keep your hands on them.
Right.
You know what they're doing. You can work them. When you're talking about a quarterback of this caliber, a Barrett caliber, and all of a sudden you say you're pulling his aid, that means you don't want him there around. That's telling me his time at Ohio State is up, and I'm quite sure that had to be before it hit the airways of ESPN, and we're. You know, ESPN is reporting this before that hit the airways. It had to be that Ohio State sat down with probably him and his family or whoever it is, and probably told him, "Hey, listen, we're pulling his aid. His time here pretty much is up, but we're not gonna drastically hit him right now.
Right now,
we're not gonna do it right now because in Ohio State mind, hey, we possibly still may need you to help us." Win this national championship,
right.
After that's over, we want to split ties with you.
Which that carries over, you know, once you're talking about making a deep playoff run and a national championship, that
Correct.
Carries over into the next semester.
Correct.
So, you know, in that case, you can't say, oh, well, I'm pulling his aid for the second semester. Or later in the year. You have to then carry it, push it back to the summer.
Back
so,
you got the summer.
Yeah.
Kids come in.
So he can finish his year.
Yeah. to me, if I'm his parents, and I mean, right now I'm starting to make some calls.
Right.
Because I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. And that's why when universities and schools use this thing called family, people, too many programs use that word too loosely. They say we're a family, but as soon as I get in crisis,
right,
you kick me to the curb. Family sticks with you when you get in crisis. But universities, schools, organizations, as soon as you get into that crisis, what happened to the word family? Where's yeah. that word at? Family do whatever it takes to get you to help, but they don't disown you.
And with the way social media is and how I think a lot of colleges run from the fact of being put out there by the media and being scrutinized and put Correct. On the Correct. Front page of everything Correct. Now with how social media is and how the media has expanded and grown over the years and media coverage itself. I think that, you know, a lot of programs, they just run away from that. And herein lies, you know, you get this situation here with this kid. Very good and talented kid, but now you're pulling his summer aid.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
You're pulling the summer aid of a young man.
Because he's still young.
He's still young. You're pulling the summer aid of him, and all of a sudden you're telling this young man, it's going to be, when I see him, when he come back, that's going to give me an indication of how much do Ohio State love this young man.
Right.
But then I wonder, now, how does this play out with recruiting coming up for Ohio State? If I'm a recruit, I'm looking at, wow, this is how he's handling this kid. This is how they're handling this kid.
Right.
Do I want to go to a situation to where I can possibly do this, and all of a sudden now I'm in the same situation and I'm kicked to the curb? Not saying that we don't know the discipline that has probably transpired with him and Ohio State. Probably some other things might be in his jacket, what they call a discipline folder that the university have that could possibly be in his folder. So we don't know the extent of. We're just telling you right now, they've pulled the summer eight. They pulled that summer eight, and that's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a kid that has not graduated and probably is not near graduating. So now you're talking about educational ramifications from this happening, and then this kid's probably going to have to transfer.
Yeah, that's wild. That's going to be a tough one for. But Kelsey, also,
what else we got going on?
We're hearing that possibly the 49ers,
hot out the press,
is shipping long-term tight end Mr. Davis to the Broncos.
Tony, we're at the table. We're in Vegas. We got big chips at the table.
I saw what Peyton Manning did yesterday to the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you tell me you're adding another piece to Peyton Manning?
Hey, and now remember, they already have an experienced tight end already in Owen Daniels. Veteran tight end.
You're adding this type of tight end to that mix. That's scary to me.
Moving all my chips. John Elway has just said, "Annie up." I'm moving all my chips to
because
the middle of the table.
He knows Peyton Manning.
I'm all in.
Peyton Manning is on the back end of his contract.
Right.
So I got to get him everything now to win now, because I can't wait, because there's no waiting in Peyton Manning timeline, because Peyton Manning, now the way he played last night, though,
right,
was unbelievable.
Right.
He played an unbelievable game last night.
And how often, you ask yourself, how often am I going to get that? And then I'm pretty sure John Elway is saying the same thing. How often am I going to get that? Now, with the defense that they have, Tony, it's
wow.
I want to move my chips to the middle of the table. I'm all in.
Now, you know I'm a Jayhawk. And you know what that secondary is built up by, right? Straight Jayhawk.
Who we got?
Keith Tlaib.
Yeah,
and Keith
Tlaib.
Oh. And my main man, Chris. Those are Jayhawks.
He's a Jayhawk?
Those are Jayhawkers,
wow,
baby.
I didn't know that.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU.
Okay,
have that defensive secondary on lockdown. Pro Bowlers. Now, you know, because the Jayhawks, we have four people in the Pro Bowl.
Jayhawks is getting a plug in for you.
We have four in the Pro Bowl. Four in the Pro Bowl. Trust me, Jayhawkers is getting it in. But let's get back to it. Now, like I say, you add that to the mix. Peyton Manning looked at like a young Peyton Manning. He was rolling out, scrambling, getting it in. He reminded me of a very young Peyton Manning yesterday.
He may be getting comfortable.
He wasn't the Peyton Manning that we was looking at earlier saying, He can't throw the deep one. He was showing you that he could throw the deep one. He was showing you he could throw the intermediate routes.
Right, yep.
He had everything clicking for him. And to go up against a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And make Aaron Rodgers look like, you ain't on that elite level of a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning. You on that bottom tier.
Yeah, I'm still the you head still, honcho. Yeah, it's me and Brady up here. And we're looking down.
Or get it here, buddy. Don't forget it. I am the man when it comes to this.
Okay, I got this team. And right now with this move, Tony.
Go ahead.
With this move.
Tom Brady?
I got this team right now.
Tom Brady better look out.
Tom Brady
better look out.
And Belichick better look out. Get out all of the spy equipment, all of the secret cameras, all of the videotaping.
They better look out. John Elway's.
They better start videotaping practices, putting out the secret equipment, everything, because Denver is coming.
Denver is coming.
They're coming.
Looking for Peyton Manning. Wow. And just give an update on Lockett, who was violently, I wouldn't say violently, who was blocked in that game because it was a clean block because at that point, both guys faced up to each other.
Right.
Has surgery today on his neck, and he's out for the season. So we wish him and his family the ultimate best.
Yeah, definitely.
Ultimately best. But when I say best, I think all of a sudden I thought of best, Kelsey, and I thought of UM.
What about you? What
it
you
took mean? Eight tries.
Eight tries.
It reminded me of a rugby game at the end. That was like a rugby game. Better than the Stanford situation.
I thought
better than the Stanford
the
situation.
Guy was gonna get tackled in the end zone. And then all of a sudden they this get out of it. Off. And but, then I see all the Duke players falling over like dominoes.
They were tired. I'm gonna tell you, they were listen, what I saw on that, I saw a bunch of guys that were tired. A special team that was tired, didn't know what was going on. This is something new to them. UM probably done practiced this. But when I look at that, it tells me a couple of things. And then down here in South Florida, folks, we are at Tilt to Kilt here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the corner of Andrews Avenue and Las Olas, 219 Andrews Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Oh, man, I had the chicken wings. They were awesome. Boneless. I love myself some boneless because I don't like digging and playing around with bones. So we're live here at Tilt to Kill.
Yeah, them fries not bad either. Let me slide them in, too.
Miami make Duke feel like they have beat them to the bone. They are boneless right now.
Yeah.
They don't know what to think right now.
I mean, it's a lot of things going on with that whole issue of the UM. And Tony, I don't know what's – and we talked earlier about what is going on with the UM – players, alumni, fans that are feeling like they've been wrongly accused. They've been poked in the...
Karma, it's about time. They're looking back at that Ohio State National Championship.
Right.
When that call was made against them. Now they're saying this is karma because everybody on all sportcasters are saying that UM and the NCAA and the ACC should give that game back to Duke.
Should forfeit and give it back.
I didn't hear him say it with Ohio State, though. I didn't hear him say, oh, you got to give Miami back that so they can win the national championship. I did not hear that around Radio Nation. I didn't hear it with Notre Dame. I did not hear none of that. All of a sudden, it happens with the University of Miami, and I'm starting to hear people say Miami needs to give that game back. I've never heard that in my life.
Right. I've never heard to give it back. I mean, a win is a win, however it comes. It was mistakes made. We know that. We saw the videotape. So it shows the mistakes there.
It should have stopped.
But the game is in the past.
It's in the past. Right now, Miami is moving on. Duke, you better move on.
Yeah,
trying to win,
because they still have a chance to win the ACC Coastal. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to win the Coastal Division. They still have that opportunity. But, Kelsey, let's get into it. A coach grab you on the sideline. Coach grab you on the sideline. Another grown man grabbing another grown man. We're going to come back for commercial break. We're going to get in that. Notre Dame coach grabs another coach, jacks him up. But before we do that, we're going to Drake. Because Coach went
Coach
0
Kelly
to
went
100
real quick.
So we're going to come up break. We're going to play Drake 0 to 100. And then we're going to come back and dig in. If another grown man on the sideline grab you, can you
hold yourself back?
Wow. That's tough. We're going to a commercial break here on the Tony Sands Show live on Tilted Q in Fort Lauderdale.
Being on some chip, we go 0 to 100 real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bills, and I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth. My actions being louder than my words. How you so? I been still sold down to earth. Cause we won't do it, we can do it on the turf. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show live from Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale. If you want to call in and speak with some of our guests or chime in on one of the topics, the number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. But let's get into it. Notre Dame coach goes 0 to 100 real quick.
Real quick. With hands on.
Hands on.
You know what he said. I'm going to put them paws on you.
I'm going to put them bangs on you, brother. and you can read the coach's mouth when he grabbed the coach and said, he's looking like, man, get your hand off me, bro. I know that would have been hard for me to hold my composure because I know me, my reaction probably would have went ahead and decked him right on the sideline. But it would have been all over Sports Center right now. Coach Chip Kelly. Not Chip Kelly, but
Brian Kelly.
Wrong Kelly. Both Kellys at some point probably want somebody want to deck both of them. But Notre Dame Kelly, this that would have been laid out cold.
I mean, hey, look, Tony. Completely laid out. He didn't walk up on him, Tony. He ran up on him. We forget the game. Forget the plays.
That, we ain't even talking
I'm gonna
about
put
that,
my hands on him right now.
Right now, I'm gonna grab him real quick.
But talking to a ref or at least debating, it seems, with the ref on a call or whatever. I understand some assistance.
I still think you should have just told the guy, hey man, get back.
Stay back. For you to talk.
But
right.
You got to get back, coach, that if your attention is so much on this situation, how much is it on the game? That's what you do a get back coach. Guys, people, the get back coaches are normally your strength and conditioning coaches.
Right.
Are the get back coaches. They normally roam in the sideline, making sure players back. I don't know how much attention I don't know if the ref went and told him, hey, listen, this guy's too close to me. I don't know what the guy might have said to the ref, but I don't know if it warrant that type of reaction. I just don't know.
Tony, it didn't. Let's just go ahead and put it out there. It did not warrant that.
Grown man.
And now they got to go back in the office and work together.
And now you got to understand. Now, you know the brothers.
Oh, man.
You know the brothers.
And you know how long these college coaches spend together in an office going over recruiting and play diagramming and meetings.
After meetings after meetings. But, like I said, you know the brothers. I know you over. I know his phone was blowing up. I know the brothers was calling him from his hometown telling him, boy, you let that man grab you like that? Is you crazy? I know, man, you ain't do nothing. He's got to deal with that sector. Then he's got to go in the office, and you know U.S. coaches. You know, we smirking and talking up on that, bro. Man, how you let that guy just grab you? Like, you ain't even fight. I thought he would at least take his hands and kind of, I did one of the moves, shot the hands off and just stood up, you know, even if I don't. But then you said, Kelsey, earlier, he thought about his job.
He thought about his job. You can tell. I mean, what would stop a person from responding
but
that quick?
Now, I had to think
that he knew that, okay, this is my boss, and I'm probably going to get fired, and I'm not going to look at it that way as the point of, okay, we're just two grown men.
But
after the fact, he probably second thought and said, I should have looked at it like two grown men because I'm feeling
that,
some type of way.
Even though that is his boss.
Right.
Once he grabbed him, he could employee boss thing out of the workplace.
He stepped out of the line.
Because
yes.
It's almost. In any other workplace, that would be considered violence in the workplace that warrant dismissal.
Yeah.
That warrants any other workplace in America, you would have saw that being done, that would be considered violence in the workplace.
Yeah.
Grounds for dismissal.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Verbal harassment or, you know,
point
something along
period.
Those lines. Yeah.
It's curious to the today of how Notre Dame is dealing with that situation.
I haven't heard anything as of today about it. Maybe later on in the week we'll hear something, but it hasn't been making the media news as far as being played. You know, the video over and over. We've seen it a couple of times in some airways, but we haven't heard too much or anything.
I haven't heard anything much about it on that situation.
I mean,
obviously
he's staying on the staff. We know that.
How could you dismiss this guy? When you initiated the physical more than anything.
I couldn't work in the building anymore, Tony. I would have went home and
have been
told my wife or whatever
now
or family members.
Wait,
look,
hold on.
I will be going to
but
a new job.
If you have children, and your son saw that. What's your reaction? How do you explain it to your son, though? How do you explain that to your son? Because you know his kids, his friends gonna say, "Dad, I seen that man, that grown man," and they ain't gonna use.
Come on, man.
Man, that grown
man
punked you, Daddy.
You can't say that.
Listen, I'm just telling you what they're going to say. Dad, that grown man punked you. You know, that's the terminology these young folks use. The terminology, Dad, that man punked you. What do you tell your child?
Man,
how do you explain it? Tell me.
I mean, what do you say? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. What do you tell your child?
Because what, turn the other cheek?
You can use that.
Sometimes, son, you have to turn the other cheek. And when you know that you're right or when you know that there's
certain situations
that were not handled appropriately, you have to turn the other cheek, know that you're the bigger man. I mean, that would be the loophole that you would take out on that, you know, the out route on that. But
Kelsey,
it wouldn't have been me. I'm just telling you, it wouldn't have been me. Not at that point. At that point. I mean.
That is a tough call. I don't see how you go about trying to even explain
right.
that. I understand you'll say, son, you know, you be the bigger man and take the higher role. But sometimes you when you're pushed in a corner, I know I used to tell my kids all the time. Now, listen, you better make sure that was your last resort. When you resorted to violence, they don't push you up against the wall and you tried, exerted every means necessary to get this resolved. That means you went to teachers, you went to administrators, and all of a sudden this person back you in a corner. Yeah, you better come out swinging at that point because there's no other option. There's no other options that warrants that kind of behavior. I just don't see it. We're going to get into this. Hey, Coach Kelsey, also, we talk on the subject of coaching.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of coaching changes that's taking place.
Yeah, there's
the
a lot of there's
We're gonna
a lot
get into
going on.
A lot of that with my main man in the Ryan Bartow, our other show. We're gonna dig into it. We're gonna see how deep does this coaching thing go and where the state of the University of Miami is at this point
right.
in their coaching search for a new coach.
A lot of schools are looking for coaches, looking to change. It's going to be a lot of changes in this offseason with a lot of programs looking at the way that these coaches are either stepping down or, you know, they're getting put on the hot seat and being released. So, if you're in a coaching profession and you're looking for a job this offseason, it is jobs. It is open season.
Mike Riley at Nebraska, I think is on the hot seat also.
This is pretty fast for him to be on the hot seat, don't you think?
Notre Dame, bro. I bet Nebraska, when you're talking about winning and losing, you think of Nebraska.
You know what? Let me throw this out there.
You think about Nebraska.
You know how we're talking about UM and we say the UM fans are uptight about their situation. And, you know, they're hearkening back to the older days. Are we getting back to the old UM? We're getting back to the old UM. We can be that. Is Nebraska that team that's thinking along the same lines as UM? Also, they're the old Tommy Frazier. Bring back Tommy Frazier. Bring back Tom Osborne.
In college football, mm-hmm. When you talk about tradition in college football, there's three, four teams that come up in your mind.
Right.
Oklahoma,
uh-huh.
Nebraska, University of Miami, Notre Dame,
right.
Those are teams that automatically comes out in your mind. When you look at Nebraska, you're looking at Miami. Those are the two teams out of those four that are on the downslide, that are not doing what their tradition have given them to do.
High expectations have been set at those universities because of tradition.
Of the tradition of the athletes that have went through. You look at Nebraska, you look at Heisman Trophy, you look at Miami, you think Heisman Trophy, because their athletes have won Heisman Trophies. The AD is also, you know, at Nebraska's kind of giving the guy his support. But I can tell you today I'm giving you my support and come next week, as we see, Miami's situation is the perfect situation. I'm not going to make this move until the end of the season.
Right.
I'm not going to make the move until the end of the season because I feel that's where you got to do it. That's what Blake was saying. And all of a sudden, again, guess what? After the Dolphins win big and win, all of a sudden, we feel like we got to go in another direction.
Right.
And we got to let go Al Golden. So when you hear an AD start speaking on that, you better look out. Your neck is really on the chopping block at that point in time.
I mean, gosh.
It's on the chopping block. But if I'm him, I'm saying fire me now. So that puts me in line to get me ready for one of these upcoming opening jobs that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean.
It just does.
Gosh, that is quick.
And that's why they better do what they got to do. Because guess what? We're bringing our main man back to the show. We're going to jump in. We're going to let Lil Wayne in this commercial break call Mr. Carter. And then we're going to call Ryan Bartow. So we're going to go to a commercial break. Mr. Carter, Lil Wayne, and Jay-Z going to talk about Mr. Carter. He's going to let them call it. And then we're coming back with the main man, Ryan Bartow, or the Ryan Bartow out here on the Tony Sands Show as we dig in to coaching changes, recruiting, and all the other things that goes with making a program and a young man successful here on the Tony Sands Show. Here to take it away, Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, Mr. Carter.
Jordan F, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that, like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Listen, every time you hear that song, you're going to know that my main man, Ryan Bartow, is in the building. You heard Lil Wayne, Jay-Z say, Mr. Carter, where have you been? Been around the world, and he's back again here on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Ryan Bartow. Ryan, let's dig into it. As I told my audience, a lot of coaching changes. A lot of people don't know if they're going to have jobs. You've been around the world back again, like Jay-Z and Lil Wayne say. Give me some of the insight on what's going on. Well, let's dig into the schools that you've been here in South
Florida. I say we start, you know, right away. Yesterday, Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer announces he wasn't going to come back. I was hearing that already on Friday, mm-hmm. that he was going to announce that to his team after they beat Boston College. It came out Sunday. Right away, the first name that pops up, defensive coordinator Bud Foster. He's a big reason why. Virginia Tech has been successful in the ACC.
Exactly.
So, plus, if the next coach opts not to keep Bud on the staff, he's owed $1.2
million.
Wow. So, $1.3 million. So, that's potential. The guy that to really look for that, though, is Rich Rodriguez. He's out there at Arizona. He worked for the athletic director that's now at Virginia Tech. There's a built-in tie there. That rumor has been going on since early this spring. So when I talk to my contacts, the main two names I'm hearing is Rich Rodriguez as well as Bud Foster. Another guy to really keep an eye on for that job is Justin Fuente. He's got Memphis undefeated. Now, he's a guy that probably would keep Bud Foster in a role as a D coordinator, and I think that would make everybody happy.
Now, when I think about Virginia Tech and I look at this whole situation, Frank Beamer, you cannot think about Bud Foster. So I'm trying to figure out how – do you overlook a Bud Foster? Because in my eyesight, I always envision that this guy would be the coach in waiting. I'm quite sure that's why when you look at you giving an assistant coach $1.2 million, and yet it's still this guy's been there with you, have been through all the storms with you, have helped your defense become what it is, and you don't give him that opportunity. I think I find unless there's no something that we don't know, man, that's deep.
Well, Frank Beamer, obviously Virginia Tech was nothing before he built that program into a multiple ACC champion. He's really made it into a really good program.
Correct.
And Bud Foster's a big part of that. I think ideally Frank, if he had his way, Bud would be the next coach and coach maybe 5-6 years, and then his son Shane Beamer would take over from that point on. But I just don't think the AD, as well as the boosters, the money people, are really feeling that to be the option. I think they're going to reach out to Rich Rod. Now, Rich was asked when he got the Michigan job to bring in his own D coordinator, not to bring in Castile, who he's now reunited with, that
Correct.
He was with at West Virginia and now Arizona. So that could be a deal breaker, because I don't think he wants to bring in another guy since that work didn't work at Michigan.
Didn't work out,
so
right.
Fuente might move up
and possibly keep Buff Foster around.
Yes.
Now tell me this. And I know Rich Rod, when he was at Michigan, he was able to come down here. He picked up Denard Robinson, yep, the guy that I trained. But tell me, being that you are on the East Coast, I mean the West Coast, you're out there on the West Coast, how does that affect your ability to recruit on the East Coast all over again? How do you get those connections and those ties back? Because you know when you're on that West Coast, you're mainly dealing in that California area.
Yeah.
You'll go to that Vegas area. You'll tap into that western part of Texas. How do you get that reconnect back when you're talking about recruiting with South Florida, which I'm quite sure will be a hotbed of his, with the Georgia area, with that coast?
I think that's one of the things that the administration at Virginia Tech is fired up about Rich Rod.
Okay.
Former offensive coordinator at Clemson.
Correct.
So all the high school coaches in the Carolinas remember him, think very highly of him. As well as, I mean, he won big at West Virginia. He was at Michigan when he recruited Southwest Florida quite a bit. So, I mean, he's an East Coast guy. His staff, whether it's Gibson, Casile, all those guys are East Coast recruiters. So they have ties there. The key in Virginia Tech is, can you get the kids out of Virginia Beach? The 757, that's the number one producing talent in Virginia. If you can get your share of kids there, then you can play against anybody in the ACC like they've proven.
When we talk about ACC, let's stay in it. Let's dig into this UM thing.
Yeah.
Let's dig into, you are in the hotbed of recruiting. You're speaking with a lot of high school coaches. You're finding them questions. They're telling you things. What are some of the things they are telling you in reference to this University of Miami's job?
Well, last week I went through 29 high schools in 5 days, all from West Palm Beach down into Broward, into Dade, and I polled all the coaches on the record. What type of coach should Miami be looking for? Give me your preference and your opinion of a good fit.
Correct.
I had a couple coaches prefer Greg Schiano. I had a Butch Davis here and there. I had a couple for Charlie Strong. But probably 23, 24, 25 of the 29 that I mentioned were all about Mario Cristobal. That's the guy that they want.
Now, you said you had a couple that wanted Butch Davis. Were those guys older coaches that, was around when Butch Davis was at Miami and they just tied to that? Or were they guys that had some type of relationship with Butch? Because I know Butch been out of this thing for a minute. And then the situation up in North Carolina, how do you see that as playing out as him being one of those guys that UM would want to pursue?
I mean, there is risk versus reward there because he just got North Carolina on probation a few years ago.
Yes.
Miami's just coming off probation. So that might be a difficult fit in that regard. But I think Butch has been out of the game, obviously out of South Florida for 15 years, but great in terms of personnel use, player development, obviously a great eye for talent. But Miami's not the only job he's looking at. He's also looking at Maryland. He's also looking at potentially Virginia. Wants to get an ACC job, get back in the game. But remember, this guy is 64 years old.
I mean,
he might be one contract away from being 70. So there's a lot of perks there, but there's also risk versus reward situation.
And if you're looking at the way this coaching thing is starting to go now, they're starting to go young because they want that young, energetic guy. How energetic can a guy like Butch Davis is, like you say, one contract away from 70? How much energy could a guy, and you're starting to see it now throughout locker rooms. If you watch Bob Stoops in Oklahoma put on the Halloween costume, because they know right now you got to be able to relate to these athletes and you got to be able to get down to them and let them understand that you do have that side to you. You see it in the locker room. The coach is now doing the nay-nay. How many in my day, that's taboo. That would have never, ever, ever, ever happened. Now, I would love to see Nick Saban, do the nay-nay. I know now there's they're going to give him a pass. They're going to say, well, Nick ain't got to dance. But let's get into
now,
other 23, though.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to, one, as a head coach now, you're not doing so much X and O's. You're telling the coordinators, okay, this is what we want to be on offense. This is what we want to be on defense. But you spend most of your time fundraising, talking with recruits.
Correct.
Motivating. I mean, that's pretty much main responsibilities, unless you're a coach that happens to be a play caller, which some still do. But your main job is to get talent there and be able to connect with these kids. And I think that's what a lot of these high school coaches and recruits that are so fired up about Cristobal is, the energy level, being from Miami, being able to relate to these kids because he's been there and done it before.
Because I'm hearing a lot of Canes want Kane. That Kane, a lot of the alumni, and a lot of people saying they want somebody that can relate to the University of Miami way.
That's why the first four names you heard, obviously, beyond Butch and Shiano that have coached there in the past, was Cristobal, that's an alum, top recruiter in the country on 24/7 Sports last cycle, as well as, you know, Rob Chudzinski, who is an alum.
Correct.
Was offensive coordinator for the best team we've ever seen in 2001. So that there's some fits there as well.
But how, you know, and when I look at, and I know he's, you know, a guy that's at the pro level, and these, but when you're talking about this area, who's already have a connect with high school coaches in this area, high school coaches, and you look at all those names, Cristobal is the name, like you say, when you did your poll, was the name that stood out amongst all of them.
It makes way too much sense, and probably over 100 different reasons why. Plus, he's a guy that you're going to be able to afford. Miami's a place that doesn't traditionally spend a lot
of money.
So he might take less on top to pay his staff more.
To pay his staff more because he understands the big picture of it.
Plus, you got to hire a guy that wants to be there, not a guy that just wants to come here using it as a stepping stone job.
To get somewhere else.
Oh, I'm going to spend 4 years there, turn it around, then go to the pros like some of their best coaches ever have done.
Yeah.
Plus, you get to live in paradise while you do it.
What? And then you're able to be in the hottest bed of recruiting.
Yes.
That there is.
Where if even if you don't get the first in Broward Dade, a lot of times the seconds and thirds are better than the first anywhere else in the world.
You got to figure out. I tell people all the time, I was a third. From what they rate now, I would have been considered a third because my height would have dropped me down to that third tier guy. But I was able to go to Kansas and excel and take my game to a whole level to where I'm an All-American. I was a player of the year. So when you were talking about that, and I think Cristobal has that mystique to where everybody, he's coaching now with Nick Saban. So that brings a lot of, that adds a lot to his portfolio also, because I'm quite sure he's going to bring some of those ways with him.
Yeah, he'd want to put an emphasis on, outside of run blockers, D tackles, and quarterbacks, he'd want that whole roster to be from these three counties.
Yeah.
And all nine assistant coaches would have territory in those three counties, Palm Beach, Dade, and Broward, and they would flood that and make sure, that's how you would flip the roster, because you would sign 25 in your first, second, and third class. Well, then all of a sudden, 75 of your kids, maybe over 60 of them, are local talent.
Local guys. But now let's talk about another local guy. You brought up the rare local. Let's look at this Georgia situation.
Yep.
Do he try to throw his name in the hat?
Well,
Mark Rick tried to throw his name in the hat.
Mark Rick, and I've been picking up some steam on that this morning because he is an alum. Maybe his 15-year tenure, which he's been highly successful at Georgia, has run its course there. And all of a sudden, Florida, that wasn't supposed to be good, is probably going to represent the SEC East in the title game. So maybe he's ran his course there. You always hear with Mark, if once his time is done at Georgia, whether that's this year or not, that he's going to retire from coaching. He's going to get into his mission work, help others out. He's made over $40 million. He's got enough money in the bank there. And just a good person, highly religious man that has other interests outside of football.
And I'm going to tell you something. When I look at, I always tell myself, because I hear his name come up so much every year, that Georgia wants to get rid of him, or Georgia, he's possibly on the hot seat. And it brings me back to this, that I say, I don't know if Georgia really ever appreciated a guy like this. You don't keep bringing a guy's name up constantly with the guy that has given you what he's given them.
He's been consistent. He's put up good offensive numbers. He's won two SEC titles. He's played for five of them in by far the toughest league in the country. But at the same time, Georgia is the fourth best state in the country. You can get everything you need in that
right
state.
In that
and
base.
If Georgia wants a kid in that state, they'll find
they'll
a way
get
to get
yeah.
him.
Oh,
so
yeah. No doubt.
So that's
no
always
doubt.
Been looked at not only as a top five or six job in the country, but sometimes when they're not winning 10 games a year, you're like, wow, why not? You got
why
everything
not?
There.
You got everything you want right there. Yeah. In your backyard is pretty much, like I say, it makes you wonder how UM is not doing the same thing. You got everything right here in your backyard.
Georgia has even further, they can get more kids in. The academic standards isn't as hard as Miami.
Okay.
Plus, you can get your defensive linemen in South Georgia, which is huge. That's a difference
country
maker.
Country boys, as we call them.
Strong NFL types.
Boys.
Yeah. Plus, they have way better facilities. They're packing that place in with 85,000. You got the whole state, 90% of them are Georgia fans. So.
And then the rest of them are Georgia Tech and South and Southern, you know, GA and things like that.
Yeah, Auburn, Alabama, et cetera. Yeah. So, I mean, you have pretty much everything you need there.
Right there. Guys, you're hearing it here from a main man, Ryan Bartow, the guy that knows. Now, coming up, guys, in later shows, once we start getting in that December, we're going to start breaking down National Signing Day with my main man, Ryan Bartow. We're going to get into breaking down, Ryan. We're going to start getting into our top 10 and where we think they're going to go and where we think they're going to wind up, even though some of them may be committed to the places. And you know how that gets. The closer we get, people's minds start changing.
Yeah, and some of them are going to be on your show tonight.
Some of
the best of the best.
Best of the best. We bring them out each and every week. The best of the best joins the Tony Sands Show. Here we got guys from Coconut Creek that's going to join the Tony Sands Show. We got University School guys that's going to join the Tony Sands Show. But like I told you, I'm going to leave out with my same song that I led in with Mr. Carter, because this is the Mr. Carter of recruiting. This is the Jay-Z of the recruiting industry, my main man, Ryan Bartow. Every time you hear that song here on the Tony Sands Show, you know Ryan Bartow is coming to your door to give you the inside scoop on what's going on in the recruiting world. We're going to, 2 minutes, we're going to play his song, let him leave out on his theme song, because that is the theme song. Then we're coming back, Stan UM. We're coming back with the man, the myth, one of the greatest fullbacks to leave the University of Miami, went on to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, now is lending a hand over at Cardinal Gibbons, helping that team get on track. My main man, Donnell Bennett, is going to join the Tony Sands Show. And I know y'all want to dig into some UM talk with him. So I'm not going to let you down, because I'm going to ask the questions that I know my people want to hear. Who he think should be the next guy in line for the University of Miami job. Hey, Hip, take it away. Let's go with Mr. Carter, because Mr. Carter is in the building.
Find a damn way.
Get it done. That's what's on his shirt.
Yo, Jordan M, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that, like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show live at Tilt the Kilt. As you know, that's Mr. Carter. Like I say, every time you hear the name Ryan Bartow, you're going to hear that song. But without further ado, let's dig into it. One of the top fullbacks that you leave the University of Miami, goes on to have a heck of a career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now is back here in South Florida. Coached at Northeast, did a heck of a job. Now he's over at Cardinal Gibbons helping get their program together. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, my main man, D. Bennett. Man, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? By the time I get down here.
Listen, bro. Listen. You know, your school is all over, everywhere. They, Saturday they go and they throw the ball around, and all of a sudden they come out and people saying that y'all should get a win back. Give me your take on what you're saying. They say y'all should get his win back.
Listen, man. The referees did everything they could to take the game away from them guys before that even occurred, bro. Three pass interference, putting time back on the clock. All of a sudden, there's no view of the other side where you can see if the quarterback got in or not.
Correct.
And then they want to take it back. After two further reviews and all this other stuff, them kids deserve that. Don't take that away from them kids. Don't overshadow the victory that those kids believe, did not give in. Did they miss a call? Maybe they missed a call, but I can tell you this. We should have another national championship because of a missed call. Maybe two more.
Now, listen, I don't hear no – when that happened, I never heard anyone say, Ohio State should get that back.
No.
I don't think I'm hearing, Miami just need to suck it up. They're sucking up. They ain't winning. That's all. But now all of a sudden I'm hearing, oh, they maybe need to bring in replay because that should. And then you suspend those guys.
Listen, what if it was the other way around? If that would have happened and Duke would have been on the winning end of the stick. Even if it was a pass interference or whatever the case was, you wouldn't have this. It would be the best play in the history of college football for Duke.
You would not have it. For the simple fact, the first thing you're going to hear, people would say, Miami, you just saw losers.
Right.
They just saw losers. Get it together. Get it together. You just don't win.
All the adversity those kids are going through, losing a coach, death in the family, another guy getting in trouble, just all kind of adversity. For those kids to have the perseverance and the wherewithal to go through and fight whatever happened before and up to that point and put themselves in a situation to win that game, the execution of the play itself was phenomenal. You cannot practice that.
And this is what I said. I said, when I look at that play, the one thing sticks out to my mind. Duke team was tired as all outdoors. They were, when I say gasping, it's like they were falling, like they was like, falling all over the place. Miami looked like, hey, listen, bro, we got all the energy in the world.
Right.
We playing what we do, what we did in the street. We playing, to me, that was like playing murder ball.
Right, right.
That's all that was, a game, a good old game of murder ball. You pass it, you pitch it, I'm going to give back to you, you get it. And all of a sudden, when I seen that guy streaking, and I seen those two blockers, and I seen that guy, this thing could get crazy. And all of a sudden, the guy scored.
But if that's anybody else, it's celebrated, bro.
Yeah.
Because it's the University of Miami. Take it away from those kids. Take it away from them. Don't put any emphasis on the fact that those kids executed probably one of the hardest plays they executed in football.
You know what I heard also? Let that have been Notre Dame.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the greatest play in
ever,
the world.
Ever.
They don't even want to give them that credit. They don't even want to say that was one of the greatest plays ever. They don't want to even give you that credit. They want to say, and it still ain't better than I was hearing. They'll say the Michigan State, Michigan play was better.
Come on, bro.
Even compare. Now, I love myself some Michigan State, and I like that D'Antonio won that. But that doesn't compare to the execution and everything that had the mindset that went into where you say all 11 guys that's on that field had to participate. Every guy was in the right place. Every guy did what was their job on the special teams to make sure that this play gets in the end zone.
And I tell you what was really funny about the whole thing. My son and I was watching it. You know, we was like, bro, they drive down the field. They taking the game away from these guys. And my son said, hey, it's 6 seconds left.
That's it.
It's 6 seconds left. So I'm like, they're not going to kick the ball now.
Yeah, right.
They squib it. Then first lateral, then the second lateral. We like laying down. Then we sit up. Then the third or fourth. Then all of a sudden, they're running down the sideline. And here's the funny part. After they scored, we're waiting to see any flags. The commentator says, the greatest play I've seen this year, and the best part about it is there's no flags on the field.
No flags on the field.
And then all of a sudden, something out of the ordinary is under review.
Under review. Not only that, now these officials are looked at as some of the worst officials ever. These are things I'm hearing all day. Oh, these are the worst officials to ever officiate a game. The ACC suspend them. The ACC should go to Miami and tell them that they got to forfeit that game and give it back to Duke. I've never heard that in my – if you start doing that, you have changed this great game that we have grown to love here in America. Shouldn't be, would never be. But let's get into D. Now, let's get into it. Now, are we on your subject? Man, they're all in a coaching situation here now. You got – everybody's trying to figure out who should be who and who should be the next head coach of the University of Miami. In your opinion, what are some of the qualities that a head coach or whoever get the job should have to be able to get that ship steering in the right direction?
The first thing he needs to be able to do is he needs to be able to relate to our kind of guys.
Okay.
It's a special guy that goes to the University of Miami. Some of the guys go down there, they're not as highly ranked or rated as some of the other guys, and we got chips on our shoulders.
Yes.
I was one of those guys coming out of high school. Some guys are elite guys, and they get all the accolades.
Correct.
But making those guys meet in the middle and fusing them together is what makes for a phenomenal team. So he got to be able to relate to the Miami kind of guy that may come down there. The next thing is you got to know the lay of the land down here in high school football. I mean, Dade Brown in Palm Beach County is the best football in the country by far. That's my opinion. But if you are not going to be able to cultivate and keep your livestock in the farm, then you're gonna struggle with that a little bit. And the last thing is, you know, the better coaches, they've been able to, I'm not going to say put their foot down, but it's some things that you got to do to be a national contender. Sure. I look at the guys that have been in the limelight for winning championships, the Ohio States, Florida States, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Every year after or year before they on that national stage, they got some guys that done got in trouble.
They got in trouble, correct.
But it's coaches, it's other assistant coaches, it's people that are mandated that you make sure that these guys get in the least amount of trouble. Because we got to go in there and get those guys that have some trouble background, been through a couple things, and they got to come in and play football for us. But it's your job as a position coach to make sure your 10 to 12 to 8, whatever your guys is, you got to police them. So if he's going to come in there, he got to make sure that we get those kids. And we also hire coaches that are capable of managing their room and making sure their kids are doing what they're supposed to do on the field and off the field.
Now, and I went back to my main subject. Do he got to be a you guy? Do this next coach got to be a you guy? That's my question I'm asking. Do he got to be a you guy, or could he be a guy that possibly may understand that culture and could come in and get it done?
At this point in the game, I think he got to be a you guy. At this stage in the game. Simply because it's not so far, but it's just the gap between where we need to be and where we are now is huge. So I think it needs to be a you guy just so that we can make sure that he's going to rally around the rest of us. And that's what's important. I mean, even if it's a you guy and he doesn't have three or four guys that played at the U on his staff, they still got to be a part of his team. They got to be able to come in and meet with the guys and talk with the guys at practice. Okay. They got to come in and whoever the position coach is, you know, we got to be a part of that because nobody else understands what it is or what it means to go down to play University of Miami football unless you've been there.
Guys, you're talking here on the Tony, listening on the Tony Sands Show. I'm talking with one of the great fullbacks to leave the University of Miami, Mr. Donnell Bennett. Now, Donnell, we say it got to be a you guy. Now, there are some you guys on this list. There's Mario Cristobal, there's Butch Davis, there's Greg Schiano, and with the long shot at a guy possibly like a Mark Richt. All these guys have some type of connect to the University of Miami. Now, how deep does that U guy got to be? Because all these guys have U ties. How deep does this guy got to be when you say a U guy? How deep?
Once again, I say this. The one guy, the father figure, is not as important as the uncles and the cousins and the brothers.
I got you.
That's going to be in the family. Daddy going to make sure that he does what needs to be done. But he's going to make sure uncle going to do what he need to do and make sure cuz over there take care of what he needs to do. So to me, it's more important that whoever that guy is, he's committed and dedicated to making sure that his supporting cast is going to be conducive to us being a winning program.
You're live here on the Tony Sands Show listening to Coach Donnell Bennett. D-Man, it was a pleasure having you on the show. We're going to continue to talk all year long because you're going to be my you guy because you are the guy that know the University of Miami through and through. And your Kansas City Chiefs, I see they just gave you a tap on the door. At one point, I thought they was going to let my boy Andy Reid go, but they just said, we're going to back him one more year. Can he get the job done with the Chiefs?
I like him a lot, man. He's done a tremendous job thus far. You know, he's just got to continue going down the road. He's going down. One thing I like about him is he likes to lean on the run game. Mm-hmm. And as long as that run game is working, you know, I see a lot of success for him. Play defense and run the ball, man. That's the key to winning in November and December.
That's it. You heard it here on the Tony Sands Show. I'm talking to Donnell Bennett. D-Man, listen. You know, I'm going to keep bringing you on. So get ready because you're going to be coming with me. Whether you're here or we're on the phone with the show, we're going to bring you on because we want to talk University of Miami, talk with you because I love talking with you. I remember when D was a youngster and I was in the mix of being trained, fellas, we trained together, and that's what makes it so special every time I bring him to the show, because he's going to give you that insight because he know it, because he lived it. He is a true you guy. And every time I bring the you guys on, I got to do the youth salute with them. We're going to do the youth salute. Let's get it like this here. We're going to do the youth salute here on the show. That's putting up the youth sign here with Coach D. We're coming back, but as we leave out, I want to hear what? Because he's been on the best of both worlds. He's played in the league and played at the elite college level, winning like no other. We're going to leave out, come back, 3-minute commercial break. We're going to dig in. Me and Kelsey are going to get into it. We got recruits here in the building. We're going out on Jay-Z, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah, it's here. Collaboration, tone the rap, the best of both worlds.
Welcome to the best of both worlds.
R. Kelly,
Shatter.
This is Stuff Running on the Right Way.
Come on, Jay.
I pull up with the big boy truck, big boy drop. We be the only big boys that the.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Listen, as we told you, we got a lot of recruits, so we got to zoom through. We got to get them in because we got to get them on here on the Tony Sands Show. Listen, there's no other show that bring in each and every week, bring the top talent to the show. Kelsey, let's go ahead and bring this down. Let's break it down. Guys, and we also got a rapper today. We're giving away a Michael Irvin signed football here on the Tony Sands Show. Hall of Fame ball.
Real deal.
That ain't. That is the real leather. Stress out the bag. We're joined here, Kelsey. Let's break it in. Let's go.
All right, we got Malik Jones here with us, one of the top athletes for Coconut Creek High School. This is a kid that's been atop all of the boards as far as recruiting by a lot of schools right now. Malik, tell us a little bit about just where you may be, that you committed to somewhere. What were you committed to?
I'm actually committed to Georgia. I'm committed to Georgia because I love the coach for recruiting. He puts a lot of DBs around my side. So he developed a lot of DBs to fit them in the league.
We got it. You hear me?
Okay, so you're looking at the next.
You can hear me? What about
DB?
We got him. Okay. Now, but you're saying now, I'm quite sure you are hearing that there can possibly be a coaching change in Georgia, Mark Richt. How much would that sway you if all of a sudden Georgia came out at the end of this season, what we consider Black Monday, and say, we're gonna sever ties with Mark Richt? Would that play into your decision?
No, it wouldn't, because you would never want to go to a college because of a coach. Coaches leave and come. You want to go there because of the school and what they're made of. So I'm going to stick with Georgia, and I'm going to go there because of what they have. I just want to play Georgia football.
And you heard, that's what a lot of kids down in South Florida saying about UM. They want to stick to the university. They're going to marry the university. They're not going to marry the coach. And that's smart. Now kids in nowadays are starting to understand the business part of it. Because you guys understand that once you get out of this high school game, this thing starts becoming a real business. This is life decisions. And I tell kids all the time when they come on my show, I got to make these decisions what's in the best interest of me, because mom and dad going to drop me off and they going back home to their comfortable living. I got to adjust to a new type of world. And I got it. Would you be able to, despite playing football, and this is what the one question I ask you, despite if you had to stop playing, would you be able to live in Georgia without football? And you hear he's saying, yes, he can. Those are the decisions. When I look at it, that's a kid that has done his research when it comes to doing the game. Now, so you say Georgia, so I guess there's no other schools that's in the running of the business.
I actually took one to Ohio State recently. I'm taking one to Auburn.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're going to see some real football. Oh,
Plan B is not bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. Listen, man, I'm going to get you on because we're going to, now listen, I'm bringing in. In December, we're bringing in what we call positions, by positions. We gonna, with my main man, Ryan Bartow, who's the top dog when it comes to recruiting 24/7, that is getting guys rated. We're bringing in position by position starting in the month of December. I want you to come back that week that we put your position on the table, because you are one of the elite when it comes to elite of the elite. I got a chance to watch y'all when y'all was, when y'all played Gibbons. I came to the game, man. You guys play some heck of a football, man. You guys, and you continue to do what you're doing in the classroom, out of the classroom, continue to be a class act guy, because that's going to be the thing that's going to carry you throughout all this. Because football does come to an end. We know that. Whether we want it to or not, it comes to an end. So you continue to be a class act. You continue to make your parents proud, man, and your school proud. And not only that, but you continue to make yourself proud in this business of football. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. You got a chance. Hey, listen. Play me back some more of that Jay-Z, Best of Both Worlds. I love it. Best of Both Worlds. We're back, Malik. We're back in the building. Don't go nowhere, because, listen, we take group pictures after this is over. So sit back here and join with us. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're finna get deep into this high school segment. This is our high school segment part of the show. Let's dig into it, Kelsey. We got University School, and we got Coconut Creek. Guys, we got to get through them. We got to dig into this thing. Kelsey's going to interview some, and I'm going to interview some, because we want to make sure that our listeners getting a chance to hear the Creek Boys. Yeah, I saw that on everybody's using them boys, and, you know, Deerfield used them boys, and Creek used them boys. But we're going to dig into University School and them boys, and we're going to dig into that a little bit. But I want to get into some of this. Being that he's a receiver, I'm going to let you dig into his brain. We're going to go away with a quick minute of Jay-Z, and you're going to come back and get your boy B.
Hey.
Benjamin.
This is
B. I'm calling him Mr. B. Benjo, receiver at his best. Let's dig into it. I want to hear me. Give me some of that Best of Both Worlds, producer. D, let me. Don, let me hear it for a minute. Got a minute break.
Yeah. It's him. Collaboration, showing the referee, Best of Both Worlds.
Welcome to the Best of Both Worlds.
Kelly,
Chattel.
This is Stuff Run on the Right Way.
Come on, Jay.
I pull up with the big boy truck, big boy drop. We be the only big boys that the big boys.
All right, fans, we're back here at the Tilt and Kilt downtown Fort Lauderdale, where it's going down. And we have one of the top athletes here in South Florida. I call him Mr. Ben, but he may just go by Benjamin Victor. This young man here has came a long way over time. And Ben, I know from myself seeing you grow over a long time, I'm happy to see where you're at right now. And I would like to say, I believe that you're one of the top receivers here in Broward County. You know, what do you feel about that? What do you feel you rank right now in the county? Okay. All right, and you know, I know that you guys have been having had a little ups and downs throughout the season, but how do you feel about how the season has gone? And then, you know, what do you think about how it's going to finish off?
Basically, we got finished off strong. This is the first time we had a winning season in like a couple of years, so to finish off 6-4, that'll be a good thing for us, but we didn't have a winning season in a long time. But every game we take it game by game, we come out strong. Even though we take an L, we're just going to come back even harder and try to practice harder and see what we made a mistake at and come back and try to get another W.
Okay. And you know, folks, he's a Coconut Creek boy, and that's what they go around on their shirts. They call Creek Boys. You know, that's their thing there. Ben, with us having Ryan Bartow here, one of the top recruiters down in South Florida and all around in the region, we want to dive into a little bit about this whole where are you looking to go, man? What's your top five? Give me your top five places where you plan on going. Just give me the top five. I'm hoping that maybe the nose may creep up to number one. It's okay, Ben. You can be honest on this show. But go ahead and give me your top five, what the fans want to hear.
I wouldn't say a top five, but like school that I keep in contact with, I'll talk to school. Basically like Tennessee, Ohio State, Florida, Harvard, Louisville, school like that. That's school that many talk to. And that relationship with the school. I wouldn't say I have a top five, but like, you know, I'm digging right now. you know, basically I'm making decisions. Is that where I go on a great game, and then I'm off from there.
Okay, and you have these visits set up at these schools already coming up this offseason?
I already took two, which was West Virginia and Ohio State. I'm going to decide out of my three out of the schools I just named. So probably after this season, I'll take the last three, and January will be our Army game.
Okay, and here on the Tony Sands Show, we promote the student athlete, Ben. So we're going to talk about the academic side also. How are you doing in school, and are you set to be, have you taken your tests and everything? Let us know a little bit about that.
I qualify for ACT. My grade's good. All I got to do is basically finish off my senior year, and I'll be set to go. Basically, I had a great 4 years of high school, and now it's time to go to a bigger and better place, next level, and that's what I'm planning on doing the next.
Okay, and I like that focus, knowing that I've known you to come from, you know, when you were the young kid, the young ninth grader, you know, at Northeast High School, and now you've grown up to be the young man at Coconut Creek High School and, you know, going on to bigger and better things as a student athlete. We appreciate you being here on the Tony Sands Show, Ben. What we're going to do is, towards the latter part of the season, once the playoffs get started, and maybe towards the end of the playoff season, we're going to have all of the top positions in South Florida. We're going to have those guys come back to the Tony Sands Show. And I'm telling you right now, Ben, you're going to be one of the receivers in the receiver group, baby. That's going to be back here on the Tony Sands Show. And we're going to get the top five receivers around the county in here. And we're going to get to talking. And we're going to find out who's who and who's a big honcho in South Florida, okay? All right, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it, man. Good luck at the next level. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to commercial here on the Tony Sands Show. Hit me with some of the Jay-Z.
Yo. Yo, Jordan, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that. Like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
Hello.
Tell me, where have you been?
You know.
They've been asking, they've been searching, they've been wondering why.
I know.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
Hey, hello.
Tell me, where have you been?
You know.
You know it. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, as you heard Jay-Z and Mr. Carter. And I got, when it comes to the game of shutting down, I got Mr. Shutdown. That's what I'm going to call you, Mr. Shutdown. I know what everybody else want to call you, but I'm going to call you Mr. Shutdown. The reason why I'm going to call you Mr. Shutdown, because I have an A rating when it comes to training defensive backs here in South Florida. You talking about from the Patrick Peterson to the Al Harris's. You name them, I've had my hands on them to take them to that next level. Now, McCall said that you a no guy. How true is that? Ain't so true. He said it can be true, but not right now. So Seminole fans, listen, y'all ain't closed the deal enough yet to make him that legitimate Seminole, where he can do the tomahawk. Now, his school colors does match Florida State. I must have Mr. Shutdown himself. Now, I'm giving you this. So from now on out, you tell everybody your name is Mr. Shutdown. You don't want nothing else. That way, that name follows you all the way through the game. And it gives you that elite status. Now let's get into what does it take at the high school level to be considered an elite corner?
Okay.
Okay. Now, Coconut Creek, you know, when we think about schools, a lot of people don't think about Coconut Creek, but you guys put Coconut Creek on the map this year. You guys showed them, hey, listen, you better start looking at that school, as I call it, Hammondville, but they call it some other side when you go across the hill. You know, they call it another street, but we're going to call it Hammondville because that's what we know it as. But what are some of the other places, schools that you're going to visit coming up in the near future?
Well,
probably go to summer in January, visit Clemson, LSU, New York State, and the last official offer I'm not sure about.
Okay, so you, man, you named some top elite programs. You get a chance, TCU, Clemson, Florida State, and the other one is undecided. So there is an opportunity for some other school that's in that elite level can get an opportunity to sneak in the door and get a visit from Mr. Shutdown himself. Now, as I told you, I train corners. You're a lanky guy. And I'm, you know, sometimes when we talk about tall corners, they look at your wingspan. How does your wingspan help you when it comes to manning down a corner?
It helps me a lot because I don't really got to do too much. Get around and things like that depends on the length of my arms, like my body. So I just position myself to match the receiver and put my hands on it. And because I feel like,
now, you know, like I told you, later on in the Tony Sands show in December, we're bringing back elite corners. All we're going to have this place stacked with numbered corners out of Broward, Palm Beach, and Dade County. Numbered corners, we're going to do a corners day, we're going to do a receiver day. We want you to be, we're sending that invitation to you to come back here because we definitely want, we're going to spend the time breaking down none but corners in South Florida. Like I said, listen, guys, when you pick him, you better do your homework because you got one of the best in the business and you're taking it from a guy that have trained some of the best in the business. Guys that have been at that elite level, guys that are coaching and playing. Right now, I think I have like 10 DBs that's in the league that comes through my camp. Man, before you go off to school, I'm going to give you that invitation also to bring you in our camp so we can get out. We're going to show you what some of the stuff we do. Go on the website and check out what we do at corners. You know, Marcus Robinson, that's with the Rams. A lot of these guys come in and they want to become the best corner in the business. They want to be that next, you know, Al Harris that was an all-pro. You remind me of a lot tall, lanky guy with long arms. You continue to put your family first, continue to make your family proud of you, continue to make your schools proud of you, and continue to be the person that you are, man. And that's going to carry you far, man. Thank you for joining the show, man. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day because you guys are busy. Because the season ain't over, folks, but they're coming to join the Tony Sands Show. Each and every week, we get the elite of the elite joining the show, man. Thank you for coming on the show. My pleasure to be in your presence. Always. But, hey, listen, you're talking to Mr. Shutdown here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to dig deep in it. We're going to go a little bit to university school and bring their coach back. Hey, let me hear me some of that Ace Hood, that Bugatti. A minute break, and we are coming back. University head coach here on the Tony Sands Show.
Looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. From different races, you get money, they started hating.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show live at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Los Olas and Andrews Avenue 219. I'm here with University head coach, Coach Lupe. The man, the myth, the hour, the man that's taking university school and putting them back on the map. Back again, Coach. A lot of people thought, Coach, a lot of people thought, you know, Roger Harrett leaves and the legacy that he left there. And they felt once he leaves, they thought the program would kind of taper off a little bit. What are you doing there with the kids that you have there to instill that this still is a school of tradition?
There's no secret, Tony. The one thing is we love our kids. At the end of the day, you invest time in the kids, whether you got a little bit of time, a lot of bit of time, or no time at all. You invest and you're authentic with these kids, and they see that, man, it's kind of, how do we want to put that field? How do we want to put that field? They want to go through a big run. I can't even want to say I have a great coach's hand. I got guys like Coach Bailey and me. Douglas Clifford, that just took us to the championship back in 2010. Coach Fagan, Coach Wesley. I got a great coach, Barish. I got a great staff. I'm great with Coach Barry.
Now, Coach, you know, as a coach, you guys wear a lot of hats. You become a father, you become a mentor, you become a brother. Everything, anything that anyone would need, you guys become. Now, tell me this. Now you got to become, now you're the head coach. You got to deal with recruiting. You got to deal with making sure that your guys are going to class. How do you balance all that? And making sure that your kids are put in the best situation.
Well, I tell you what, my workload is a lot different than what it was when I was an assistant. Correct. I got less classes to teach. However, I got more responsibilities. You know, it starts with the message of practice, and it carries over the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids are counting back in the classroom. In this instance, this morning, one of our kids came in with soundness. Luckily, we caught him at the door.
Wow.
With your shoes on. Coach, they
wow.
And you know, son, if you don't come in with shoes on, they're going to say something to
me. Correct. Correct. And I got it. Right.
I don't want it to become one. I want you to live
in the butt before it gets to you.
So, you know, little things like that, just constantly mind. I mean, I'm not doing anything different than what I did before in class.
Mm-hmm.
I was training my kids. I was school the weight room. I still try to get them fired up. I just got a head coach in time. I'm still putting in some amount of hours.
Here you go. You get an opportunity to take over a program such as this. Because I'm quite sure when Roger left, there was a lot of people probably had their name in the hat. When they named you the head coach, what was that like for you?
I'm going to give you a funny story. I didn't even want to be the head coach.
Wow.
I had no aspiration to be the head coach. Still really don't do this back, but I'll tell you that. I just didn't want another situation that happened last year to happen to my kids. And that was really the motivator. So, you know what? If I have to be the one,
I got to do it.
We kind of took it and rolled with it, man. And that's basically how it went.
Wow. Like you said, but great things happen to great people. Sometimes we don't expect it, but it sits in our lap because we are anointed to have it. So that's what, when I look at that, I look at your situation when you talk about that you weren't even looking to be a head coach, but it happened to you.
It's kind of like Obama, man. You know, they weren't really expecting to be a president first.
Correct. All of a sudden caught wind. Now you guys are getting ready. Now you've got your team into the playoffs, Coach. Your first year as a coach, and all of a sudden you're in the playoffs. What are you telling your kids now to get ready for the new season, as I call playoffs?
One thing our kids is learning as they grow is that it's hard to be good.
Correct.
Anybody can be sorry. It's hard to be good. It's time to be good. Motivated. Take those extra reps and stay long hours.
Correct.
You know, they're starting to grow and mature as the season goes along. And, you know, we have a group of the team first round. And, you know, this time around, I think we got a better chance this time than we did actually in 2000.
Correct.
I'm not saying that we're going to win, but, you know, we got an opportunity and the kids are going.
That's all you're asking for. That's all you're asking. That's all you're instilling. Hey, listen, we go out there, you put your hat to the ground, let's get it done. And let them chips fall, may. You're hearing it, Coach Lupe is telling you. Coach, every time I think about it, when I think about you, I think about when you guys were playing Boyd Anderson and I came out with the belts, baby, and here I am. You know, both sides had belts, and all of a sudden, that's when, one of your assistant coach Blair was squaring off against you guys, and I had both the belts, man. Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. That was the exciting part of my broadcast. I got an opportunity, and I'm in the middle of the huddle with the referees, and I'm telling these guys, I'm telling the referees, hey, listen, we've been to play some football here. They talk about, oh no, we don't want, nuh-uh. People came to watch a football game. Let's play football. Let's give the fans what they came for, man. Oh man. What, man, it was exciting, bro. It was exciting. Coach, man, I want to thank you for taking the time out your business schedule, bro, and joining my show. I'm going to keep on bringing you on the show, bro. Listen, leading up to recruiting, leading up to signing day, everything. I want to lean on you to get that knowledge of what you're doing at your school.
Well, I'm learning as the process is starting to go along. I can't say that I have all the answers. I'm learning as we go. But they got to say about university school. That's a school where you can have an opportunity to play no matter what question you solve.
That's it.
Back up, you want to be a good person.
Those that are listening to the show, Tony Sands Show, you are chiming in and listening to Coach Lupe with the University School. He's leading that school into the playoffs. We're going to be back here. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to go out with Drake, 0 to 100 real quick. That's how we got to go, 0 to 100 with the recruits. We're coming back with the University School recruit live here on the Tony Sands Show, 0 to 100 real quick. Let's go out with that and come back in.
Being on some chips, we go 0 to 100 real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bills, and I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth. My actions being louder than my words. How you sold, I been still sold down to earth. Cause one do it, we can do it on the turf. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the die holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night. She gon' be upset if she keep scrolling to the left, dog. She gon' see some shit that she don't wanna see. She ain't ready for it. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm headed for it.
This is Tony Sand. We're live at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Las Olas and Andrews, 219 Andrews Avenue. And I'm with Mr. Who? Columbia, the guy that leads the ship over at University School. You are the quarterback over at University School. Give me some insight. You know, everybody don't know what it takes to be a quarterback and what it takes to lead an organization. What are some of the things and how do you prepare when it comes game time to make sure that your team and yourself is put in the best situation possible?
You know, it's not really only on the field. It takes a lot of time, especially in the classroom, watching film. I watch tons of film on the team, game. And it helps me out a lot in the game to help me see everything better and ultimately be the best shot to succeed.
Now, you know, you hear so much about different type of quarterback. There's a, you know, they talk about there's a running quarterback, there's a passing quarterback, there's a drop back quarterback. When you look at all those, where do you put yourself at in that type of category? Which category?
I'm a pocket passer, but I can't get it done on the ground when I need to.
Okay. He's covering two. It's better to have two than to have one. He's a pocket quarterback, plus he can run. Now, you guys getting ready for playoffs coming up. Getting ready for playoffs. What is that going to be like for you? Now, because, you know, it's a new season now. That ain't the old season you don't play. The new season, get ready to kick off playoffs. What's the difference in the preparation when it comes to playoffs versus regular season?
You know, preparation, we got to take it really serious now. It's going to be one and done, so we got to really execute on all the plays.
Now, you know, normally quarterbacks are leaders of a team. Do you make yourself a leader? Is that, you know, something that the guys have already, you know, put you in the place as that leader?
I'm a leader, especially for offense. You know, they really gather around me and they really listen to what I have to say.
Now, being a leader means I got to be a heck of an example. Let's dig into you. I want to dig into a little bit of academics. You know, give me what's your GPA? Because I know report cards are coming up. If you haven't gotten them, you've already gotten them. What's your GPA? 3.7. Okay. What are some of the schools that you would like to, or are you going to visit or is talking to you?
Talking to Wake Forest, UCF.
Okay.
Syracuse, too. I love all these schools.
Okay. All right. What's your aspiration when you get into school? What are some of the things you want to do?
Honestly, I'm really not sure yet.
Not sure yet.
I'm questioning myself.
Pretty soon it's going to come that you got to figure out. You got to tape it down. But they say the average person changes 3 majors when they get to school anyway. So you got some time away from that. Listen, man, Mr. Columbia is what I'm calling you. The quarterback debonair. When I talk about you, you got that, you know, you got that debonair look. You got that, what I used to call, what's the guy named that was at South Carolina? Sunshine, you got that sunshine type of look. Yeah. You know, you got that sunshine, that debonair that when you walk on the campus as a quarterback, everybody know that you are the quarterback. You got that look to you. You got that quarterback look to you. And it fits you, like I said, that drop back, and I can get it done, man. Listen, thank you for taking time out your busy schedule. Anytime I could be in the presence of young men, impart knowledge in young men. You continue to make your school proud. You continue to make yourself proud. You continue to make your parents proud. Any decision that you make in life, you think of those three, and you tell yourself, what I do, what I'm going to do in this decision in front of all three of those components If you can't do it, don't do it. That's already telling your decision. Thank you, man, for joining the Tony Sands Show. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to dig into you. I'm going to follow you in the playoffs now. We ain't finished with you yet. Because, listen, I'm bringing back all the quarterbacks of Broward County, Dade County. And we're giving you that open invitation to come back. Once we start getting closer towards signing day in December, we're going to break it down. It's going to be quarterback week, receiver week, DB week, lineman. We're bringing y'all back, and I'm extending that invitation to you to come back and join us on that week. Coach Lupe is going to make sure you're here.
Yeah, we'll be.
Because we're going to stay with you. Thank you for coming out, bro. My pleasure. My pleasure. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to dig into each and every week. We're bringing them in. We're bringing them in here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, these high school guys are making a name for themselves here throughout the country. When I say football players at his best. Here on the Tony Sands Show, we're coming back with the head coach at Coconut Creek here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Let me hear some of that, Mr. Carter. Tell me, where have you been? And then we're bringing back the head coach at Coconut Creek High School.
Yo. Drawing after this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that. Like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
Hello.
Tell me where have you been?
You know.
We're live here at Tilt Kid in Fort Lauderdale. You want to call in and speak to some of my guests, you can call us at 888-429-5471 on the corner of Las Olas and Andrews Avenue. We're live here at Tilt the Kilt. Joining me, the guy that leads the ship over at Coconut Creek High School, Mr. Reed, joins the Tony Sands Show. Coach, listen, your team has made headways throughout Broward County. When I came in, you know, Coconut Creek was, you know, a school that people would talk about, but you've made them a household name. You got a chance, man, you're coaching some of the best talent in the country. How do you keep all that talent and keep them under control? Because sometimes when coaches get that much talent, everybody wants to be the star. How do you manage to keep all these young men in line?
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge. I talk about a thing called the disease of me, right? And I got that from Pat Riley. He said, you know, once you have success, everybody turns and tries to think about themselves. So I get grounded. I just get away with my kids. I tell them, you still got to work hard regardless of the hype or whatever it may be that comes your way. The day that I'm the sky doesn't lie. So
highly recruited. Some of the best in the game at their positions. What are you telling them with recruiting pretty much starting to get it at its peak? What are you telling them and advising them when it comes to picking schools?
I tell them to get to know their position. A lot of the times, people are coming in to actually
recruit
them.
Correct.
Meaning that I went through the process myself as an individual now. I realized that it's like I still got to recruit me, didn't even coach me.
Correct. You never saw him. Correct.
So I tell them what questions to ask and who to get to know within these programs that they're and they have interest in. I just kind of give them the game and they've done a good job.
Now, Coach, where are you now? You got a great class of guys this year. Where are you looking to take Coconut Creek in the future when it comes to being a program that everyone, when they talk about South Florida, they talk about Coconut Creek?
I want us to be a program that competes hard, you know, week in, week out. But at the end of the day, you know, for me and for most of which it does, fine, but for me personally, I want to put kids in school.
Correct. especially here in South Florida, folks, they don't get paid what they should get paid, a la Texas, $100,000. Wow. Oh, yeah.
What? We have such great talent out there. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang it. It's hopefully going to have success.
Success.
But at the end of the day, for these kids in school, year in and year out.
Now, Coach, you know, you look at this busy offseason now that it come up where all the kids are playing 7-on-7s. They're all over the place. Do you – some coaches advise against it. Some coaches say, hey, guys, go out and do what you do. Where do you – what's your opinion on – these new 707s and your kids being all everywhere?
You got to monitor it, but I don't push against it. I know a lot of the guys that run the 707 all-star teams.
Yes, with the fortifier, correct.
So my kids played in it, and they, I think it helped them get better. They taught them how to compete.
Compete, yes.
I'm all about competing. That's the one thing I did when I took this program over. I entered every 707 tournament.
Correct.
To learn
how to compete.
All right, and all and everything they tried. So us as a team, we won three of them in the summertime.
Wow.
UCF, we won theirs.
Wow.
And the strike shootout, we won as well. So we had a lot of success with some of the 707. And to me, it was about changing the culture.
Cutting the culture.
Kids learn how to compete and win, and that's what we did using that 7-7.
And that's the one thing I'm hearing about you guys. The culture over there is changing to where it's becoming an attractive school to where guys say, hey, I want to go play over there. The last 2 to 3 years, that's all I've been hearing. You know, hey, 2 years ago, I heard Man Creek is where you, the school they have when it comes to everybody, and I heard it again this year. I got a chance to see you guys play, and when you talk about competing, I saw you guys play when you played Cardinal Gibbons, and I saw you, when even though your kids were down at some point, they still stayed the course of what you were teaching them, and they fought back to get that win to where all of a sudden, here come the fourth quarter, now these guys are ready to go, and they kind of extend that lead to where they felt, you guys felt comfortable that the game was over. And that's what you are instilling in them, and I'm seeing it. I had a chance, like I said, interview some of your guys, and you can see the class act guys that they are. And I always say a player is every spit of who his coach is. And that's some of the things that I'm liking that I'm seeing. Like I say, the guys that I come across in your program.
Right, and those three gentlemen that you interviewed are great kids. Mm-hmm. We try to coach the whole person. I tell my
Correct.
Guys, it's bigger than football. It's about life.
By so life,
coach
correct.
The entire athlete from on the field, how to do your job. As
correct.
An athlete, but then off the field, I teach them how to be good people.
Correct.
Build it in the community. And so, because it translates.
Correct. On the field, correct. Yes.
So, I coach the whole kid, and those kids are just great guys in general. They're doing a great job, you know, handling all the attention they're receiving.
Attention they're receiving, correct.
Keeping a level mind and being humble.
Coach, man, listen, my pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking time out your busy schedule with the young men and bringing them here. Thank you. Like I told you, we're coming back. We're going to eat you in December. We're bringing what we call the elite of the elite to the Tony Sands Show for Broward, Dade, and Palm Beach. We're going to bring all DBs, all receivers. We're bringing, I'm even doing a big thing for the coaches we're going to do here. We're going to bring all coaches out. It's what I call Broward County giving back to the coaches because, like I said, you guys deserve it, man. You guys wear thousands of hats. I tell myself, I love training, but I don't love coaching, bro. It's a different ball game. I had an opportunity, like I said, coach at the college level. And, man, I was like, I'm going to stick to the training part. I'm going to leave the coaching to those that desire and love coaching, man. And I see that gleam in your eye that you love doing what you do. And thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. It's my pleasure to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. You had Coconut Creek Coach Reeve here on the show getting it in. We're getting it in here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to come back. I'm bringing my main man, my co-host, Kelsey Dudley, back to the show, and we're going to dig in to more topics, and you're going to get a chance to hear more interviews of the elite of the elite here in the building. Then we're going to do what? We're going to give that football raffle away here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to dig into it. Stay tuned. Let's hear the best of both worlds. I love that, Jay-Z. Jay-Z know how to do it. The best of both worlds here on the Tony Sands Show. 2 minute break, and we're coming back to dig in with my main man, Kelsey D, aka the coach, here on the Tony Sands Show.
Yeah, it's here. Collaboration, tone the rap, the best of both worlds.
Welcome to the best of both worlds.
I'm Kelly.
Let's
just start running on the right way.
Come on, Jay.
I pull up with the big boy truck, big boy drop. We be the only big boys that the big boys watch. Sing to them, yeah.
Best of.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Kelsey, is back in the building. Kelsey, you getting a chance to walk around and talk to some of the elite of the elite here on the Tony Sands Show. You interviewing them. Kelsey, what's one of the things that you're hearing out dealing and communicating with the young men?
These kids are really taking this thing seriously as, you know, the next level of recruitment, how much is becoming a business out there, Tony. And that, you know, they're really taking their future seriously and not only committing to the program, but also the school with a lot of these colleges. And, you know, they're really focused. And with us having some of the top athletes down here in this area, man, these kids have their head on straight academically and athletically. So,
and that's what, because you got to think of what other show you know, man, that brings in the elite of the elite when it crosses the board? Each and every week, we're bringing people, the elite of the elite. No other show is doing it, bro. Bringing them here to Tilt the Kilt to join me and you, man, it's got to be exciting. It ain't. The elite of the elite is coming in the building. Because you know, at some point, they're going to be inking, $100 million deals. $100 million deals.
So, you know, as you listen to the Tony Sands Show, you're getting an early listen and a heads up on some of the guys that are going to become household
names in this industry. Very quick. When I say very quick, very quick. And we're talking to their head coach. And when every time I look at one of the kids, I look at their head coach, and I see the same resemblance. You can see their head coach in them. And you can tell, when you see that, you know that their head coach is doing a heck of a job with them.
The message is making it cool to the kids, and that's what it's about at the high school level, that the coaches really invest their time and become like a mentor, a second father to a lot of players and give them guidance, especially in making this big college decision. I'm saying, you know, with all the things that are going on in the college landscape, that, okay, hey, you know, coaches are changing places.
All over the place.
Things are going on the college campus. And the troubles that go on college campus, you know, hey, I mean, me and you were in college a while back. And
oh, man.
Things have changed a lot.
The landscape has changed. Listen, what? Because I got, and I was thinking about that as I was driving to the show. These guys are becoming household names at an early age.
Yeah.
Household names at an early age. In the industry.
And these guys are playing in some of the top all-star games coming up.
Correct.
At the end of their season. So as soon as their season ends, if they're not in the playoffs, they're quickly turning around and getting ready to play in these top level games.
That they are.
You know, that are going to be publicized and promoted
that, all over the place.
Relations. So, you know, this is something that is huge. And, you know, social media blows up with all this stuff. You got Twitter blowing up with all these things. Makes for a lot of changes for the athlete and a lot of people that they have to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, you know, social media, they're always tweeting out, you know, this, I'm doing this, I'm taking a picture here with Under Armour or with Nike.
Nike is showing up putting their stamp on a lot of them. I don't blame them. They're smart.
Yeah.
They're smart. Kelsey, you're going to get a chance. You're going to interview this next kid. He's from University School. He's one of Lupe guys.
Hey, Tony, this is
Kelsey.
The man
when it comes to being a man in this industry. I'm going to let you dig into his brain, and then we're going to come back and we're going to close out our show here on the Tony Sands Show. Come on, B.
What is it?
I got it.
Tony, why I'm not hearing anything on here? No, he got me on wait. He got me on wait 30 seconds.
Go ahead, run it. We're still going to work. We're going to run. Got him?
Okay, I'm ready. Okay, we're back here on the Tony Sands Show with Josh Ali, and he's one of the top receivers here at University School down here in South Florida, a true athlete, and he's making things happen for University School. How you doing, young man? All right, good to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. How's your season been going over at University School? I know you guys getting the program going over there with Coach Luque, a very good coach. How do you think your season has been turning out?
We've been doing better from last year, 3-7, and now we're 6-3. We doubled up our last year. The program pushing away from us. We got some good seniors, some young kids coming up. We're teaching them the ropes and everything.
Okay. Now, you yourself play receiver. Are you one of the top receivers on the team there? You're a big guy, man. You're a big guy. Is your game a physical game at receiver, or are you type of a speed guy in the offense?
I'm a physical, good routes for him. Yards type of guy.
Okay, all right. And here on the Tony Sands Show, we like the focus on not only the athlete but also the student athlete. How's your grades, man? How you doing in that area as far as the testing and the grades go?
I'm doing good right now. Weighted GPA, T9, unweighted, 3-1, so doing pretty good right now.
Okay. Now let's get to it. We want to find out what if you have a five, top five schools that you're looking at maybe to go on to after high school and be a superstar, or maybe you got your top one or two. What are some of the schools that you're looking at?
FAU, Florida State, Texas Tech, Clemson.
Okay, all right. So Texas Tech. All right. Okay. So you heard here from Josh Ali for University School, one of the top receivers, the man for University School, and looking to make big things happen for their program. We're here at the Tony Sands Show at the Tilted Kilt, bringing it to an end, about to sum things up here. It's gotten crazy, done filled up with people here. We're signing out, had a good time here. We're going out. We got Creek Boys in the house. We got University School in the house. Thanks for joining our show. Tune in next week, where we'll be back at you with some live action and some top guests.